steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Amen. Our song this morning is taken from the Blue Hymnal, page 356, Redeemed, and it's on the screen, Redeemed How I Love to Proclaim It. Thank you. chance to kind of recap where I've been, but this has been at least 7 weeks that we've been here in 2 Peter, and we come to a really tough passage of Scripture today. But Mary, you're tough, so you can hang in there with me, okay? This is a tough passage of Scripture, and I really, really struggled this week because I'm like, Lord, I don't want to preach works righteousness. This sounds like if we do these things, we're going to be saved. And I've talked a lot about that over these past 7 weeks. It's by grace we've been saved. Through faith, none of us can boast. We cannot do a thing to earn our salvation. It's Jesus died, and he loves us, and we believe in him. That's it. That's how we're saved. We're born again when we believe in Jesus. But in this passage of Scripture, and I looked in depth at this last week, so I encourage you, if you haven't been here and you want to go back, listen to that. Went in depth in verses, I think, what is it, 5 through 8, and he lists 7 virtues that we need to add to our faith. Well, that was tough enough, but then this week he talks about you need to do this, and if you do this, there's going to be an entrance for you in heaven. And I'm like, God, what's going on here? And as I struggled with this, I just heard the whisper of the Lord, look at what comes after it. And so I did that, and I was like, and that's a really good Bible study principle. If you come to a passage of Scripture that just kind of seems like, Lord, what are you saying here? What is going on? Look at it in context. So I'm going to finish up this series. And what we're going to do, I'm going to recap a little bit, but really going to focus on verses 8 through 11, 12. Focus on that. And then why would he say such a thing? And then put it in context with the rest of 2 Peter. This is a sobering word. This is a word I shared on Facebook this morning. Shortly after seminary, I went back to Gordon Conwell, where I graduated out in Massachusetts, for a preaching conference. And my preaching professor came up to me and was like, April, how's it going? And was asking kind of, you know, what was going on. And he asked me, he said, April, how do you know what to preach? And I said, well, I listened to the Lord. And he said, that's great. And he said, I encourage you to preach through a book. He said, that would be good for you, and that would be good for the people in your church, because a lot of us don't know the Bible, and we don't know a whole book. We know scriptures. We can pull things out of, like, Romans or Psalms or Acts. We can pull stuff out. We all have our favorite scriptures that we kind of pull out. And he said, but you need people, the congregation, we need a more thorough knowledge of the scriptures. And I was like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. So ever since then, I've prayed, Lord, what book do you want me to preach through? And the first book I preached through was the book of Acts. Then I preached through the book of Luke. And then I preached through the book of Revelation, like the entire book when I was down in Cedar Grove. So that's been a very good discipline for me. And it's been very helpful for other people, because we all have scriptures that we like. And we all have scriptures that we don't like. And we can fall in a ditch if we just read the stuff we like, because all scripture is God-breathed. And so this is a broad swath. This is a topic I normally would not want to talk about, but I feel very strongly that the Lord wants me to. And this is a time to do it. It's a season of Lent. So what does Peter say in these verses, and why does he say it? Another thing we need to remember as we approach this is that these are essentially his last words. And you pay attention to somebody's last words. And our last words are important, aren't they? And he's exhorting Christians and his brothers and sisters in the Lord that if he could say one final thing, this is what I want to say. And wow, it's sobering, but it's a truth we need to hold on to. So hang in here with me, and let's put it in context. And if you're here today and like, April, that was the hardest, most awful sermon I've ever heard in my life, I'll take it. But I'd encourage you to say, I just encourage you to go back and listen to what I preached 7 weeks prior, okay? There's been some good stuff back there. So 2 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 3, and let's pray. Lord, Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your word. This is your word, and we can encounter you in it. We thank you. Paul wrote that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, and building up in the faith. And so, Lord, we pray. Lord, we don't want a lopsided faith. Lord, we want to be whole in you. We want the milk, but we also want the meat. We want the cheesecake, Lord, but we also need the broccoli. So, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would come, that we would encounter you in your word, and, Lord, that we would know more than we've ever known before the beauty of the cross, the beauty of the blood, the beauty, Jesus, of you coming and dying on the cross for our sins. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Anoint me, Lord. I pray I'd be able to preach without intimidation, but with power and love and sound mind. Anoint me, Lord. Anoint me to exhort and encourage your people today. Come, Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start and I'm going to read verse 3 through 11. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he's granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Talked in depth about that last week. Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. That was the scripture I was really struggling with. Lord, works righteousness. Like, you know, what's going on here? Let's look at it in context. What does Peter call those who lack virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love? Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind. Because if you lack those things, you're blind and you're nearsighted. To be nearsighted, some of you know what this is like. I was doing something so simple this week. I think it was like I was trying to do a luggage tag. I couldn't see. I could not see even to do a luggage tag. I'm like, good night, I'm blind. I can't see a thing. your life. And again, if you haven't listened, I'm not going to go over that this week. But all of those qualities, wow. Not only if you have them, verse 8, but if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Wow. Wow. So if we're honest and we're like, well, Lord, yeah, I don't have virtue. My knowledge of you isn't probably what it should be. Steadfastness? I don't have a whole lot of spiritual endurance. When trials come my way, I tend to falter. Self-control? I may have issues, fill in the blank. Talked last week about that word really has to deal with sexual self-control, lust, steadfastness, godliness, having a fear of God, loving one another. We have hatred in our heart towards our brothers and sisters. What if that's where we are? We're blind. We're nearsighted. What do we need to do? He says, if that's where we are, we're nearsighted and blind. We have forgotten that we've been cleansed from our former sins. If we have an issue with those things, what's the remedy? The remedy is to look to Jesus. And I shared with you last, it's been 2 weeks ago, and I want you to look at Matthew chapter 26. Keep your finger in your Bible and go over to Matthew chapter 26. It's the only, I don't know if it's the only, it's one of the few instances that Jesus set as an example. And he said, wow, let's look at this story. Matthew chapter 26. Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you trouble this woman? For she's done a beautiful thing to me. For you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. Pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. For truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Jesus holds her up as an example. He says, wherever this gospel is proclaimed, what she has done in this extravagant worship, this extravagant pouring out, will be told in memory of her. Why did Jesus exalt her? Why did he say that? Why would he say that about her? Because she got it. She knew who Jesus was. She knew that he was going to the cross, and she knew that he loved her, and she knew that she was forgiven of all of her sins. So in that, there was a pouring out of gratitude and thankfulness. And we need to Some need a lot of light. Some need not a lot of light. And you do research on that. But the soil of our heart is, are we taking time with Him? It's that simple. Are we taking time? And if we really know who Jesus is, and we really know that He loves us, and we really, really know that we've been forgiven and we receive that, y'all, we cannot help but love Him. We cannot help but want to spend time with Him. And Jesus lifted up that woman wherever the gospel is proclaimed. What she did will be told in memory of her. Lifted her up as an example because she got it. She got it. And as Peter is talking about these virtues, love and steadfastness and godliness and self-control, knowledge of Him, these need to be ours and increasing. Why? Because we have to earn His favor? No. Because our soil is good. It's good. Our heart is good soil. And it's producing 30, 60, 100 fold of what has been planted there. That's how this works, you all. It's not striving and trying to do it all. It's just, whoa, looking at Jesus, receiving, getting it for the first time, and then just living that out. Wow, Jesus really does love me. Jesus really did die on the cross for my sins. And He loves me. And He wiped it away. And the old is gone. And the new has come. And we love Him. And we spend time with Him. And we receive His love. And He gives us peace. And He gives us joy. And it just keeps building and building and building and building in our lives. You see how it works? It's not striving. No, it's gazing at Him and receiving. And He says, if that's not where you're at, you have forgotten that you've been cleansed from your former sins. You need to go back to that place. The church at Ephesus in Revelation, He commends them, but He says, this I hold against you. You've forsaken your first love. You're doing all the right things, but you don't love Me. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is writing these last words, and he's saying, y'all, keep running hard after Jesus. Keep looking at Him. He loves you. He died for you. Don't forget it. Remember, remember who He is. Remember what He's done. Why does He make that bold statement? Be all the more diligent. Look at verses 12 through 15. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Don't forget it, he's saying. Don't forget it. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. But don't forget it. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. What is it we believe? Look at verse 16. For we do not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. The very first sermon I preached on this, I preached on precious faith as Peter did? The same precious faith. It's the same faith. The same Jesus. The same miracles. All of it. We can have access to it. And he's saying that here. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the dawn appears and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. He's saying, stay in the Scriptures. It's not myths. It's not made up. Again, going back to the parable of the soils, the Word of God is good seed. It's a good seed. But it'll only grow in a heart that's ready. It'll only grow in a heart that takes the time to spend with it. So he's saying, read the Scriptures, his last words. We believe in the Holy Scriptures. We believe in what God has done. We believe in Jesus Christ. Stay in the Word of God. Why? Why? Why stay in the Word? Chapter 2, 2 Peter. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell, and committed them to change of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescues righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despise authority. He's saying there's going to be false prophets. And we need to be in the Word of God. And we need to stand. Because wicked days are coming. And we see that in the Bible. Or we see that in our culture right now, don't we? Wicked days. Stay in the Scriptures. God brought judgment in the Old Testament. When Jesus comes back as the soon and coming King, he's going to bring fire and judgment upon all wickedness. We need to stand. We need to be ready. God is not playing games. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this, first of all, the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. He's talking about Noah. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Verse 14. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. You hear that? Be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish. That is taking care of the soil of our heart. Are we busy? Are we pursuing other things other than God? What are we filling our mind with daily? Are you spending more time on social media than you are in the Word of God in prayer? We need to be diligent in tending the soil of our heart. Verse 15 of chapter 3. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him. You there, 17, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter is writing this letter and he's saying, y'all remember that these very great and precious promises in the Word. Remember that we are divine partakers. Remember that we are born again. Remember who you are. Add to your faith knowledge and virtue and goodness and godliness and love and self-control. Add to those things. Add to those things. Add to those things. Why? Because you're looking at Jesus. You're not looking to the right. You're not looking to the left. You're not being dismayed by what's going on in the world, because false prophets, all of wickedness all around, he's saying, these are his last words, stay focused. Don't look to the right or to the left. Don't do what the culture's doing. Stay focused on him, because Jesus is coming in great power. He's coming in great glory. There is a hell and there is eternal fire, and so be right with him. Tend the soil of your heart. Be like that woman, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is proclaimed, what she did will be told in memory of her. In love, she's pouring it out, extravagant, because her focus was on him. Do you think that would have been embarrassing for her? How many of you are self-conscious? Well, yeah, me, number one, started to say, how many of you are self-conscious in worship? I don't want to sing with the microphone on. What are people going to say about me? Yeah, Lord, I'm number one. We're self-conscious when we worship. Oh, I don't want people to hear my voice. I can't sing real well. Oh, I don't want to be real extravagant. That's a little too much. I can't do this, or I can't do this. That's a little too much. This woman was so focused on Jesus. She did not care what other people thought about her, because her focus was on Jesus, and she knew that she was loved. And that's where we need to be, you all, because we live in a wicked and a perverse generation, and Jesus is coming back. We need to tend to the soil of our heart. We need to spend time with him, and we need to be ready when he comes. Chapter 1. Verse 2, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace and peace, he's saying, be multiplied to you. And how does he end? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As I said a few weeks ago, grace is power. Grace is not passive. Grace gives us power to overcome. We're born again through grace. We become sanctified through grace. We're changed from glory to glory through grace. We don't have to give in to our own sinful nature, because by grace, he gives us power to overcome. Be strong in the grace. May grace and peace be multiplied to you. How's your heart? How's the soil of your heart? Jesus loves you. He died on the cross. He left his Holy Spirit here to comfort us, to come alongside. can it be that we would gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me. He bled for Adam's helpless race. My chains fell off. My heart was free. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in you, that we don't have to be ashamed, that you love us. May we be like that woman that you said, wherever the gospel is proclaimed, what she has done will be told in memory of her, because she got it. She didn't care what people thought about her. All she wanted to do was to love on Jesus, because she knew that she was loved. She knew that she was forgiven. Open our eyes. Lord, we thank you that you are the soon and coming King. Lord, we thank you, God, that we're covered in the blood, that we don't have to worry about the fire and hell. And Lord, I pray that we would have a heart, Lord, to seek after. Lord, you came to seek and save those who are lost. I pray, Lord, we would have your heart. Lord, we thank you, God, but time is short. And Lord, I pray that we would add to our faith. We'd be all the more diligent to add self-control and love and affection and the fear of you, God, because we love you and because time is short. May we run, Lord, with your fire. May we run with your glory, because you are the soon and you are the coming King. And Lord, I pray we would be faithful witnesses to our family, to our neighbors, to this community, Lord, that they may know that you love them, that you are with them, and that you are soon and coming King. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. May we be your witnesses, Lord, in a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen.